If you all would rise in body or spirit for the reading of the scripture. And today's reading is Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Jesus left the place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The inspired word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Would you please pray with me? Almighty God, we give you thanks for this day, and as we hear the words that you have given us, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing to you. For you are our rock, our redeemer, our creator, and our God. In Jesus' name, amen. So my intention this Mother's Day was to preach on three mothers in the gospel. The mother of Jesus and the moment when Jesus, as he hung on that cross, dying, turned to John and asked him to look after his mother. The final concerns of Jesus, as he was hanging there dying, was concern for his earthly mother. I wanted us to consider how this small act calls us to care for our own mothers by providing for her care after he was gone. Jesus ensured the welfare and safety of his mother the remainder of her days. I then planned to talk about the story of the widow of Nain, whose son had died. You might remember that story. Jesus walked into town as this funeral procession was heading out to bury this boy, and he spoke the boy's name, and the boy was restored to life. What a dramatic second chance this mother was given to have her son restored to life so that he could take care of her. I plan to talk about the fact that Jesus raises the dead, and for those parents who have lost a child and children who have lost a parent, our second chance is knowing that we will see our kids or our parents one day in glory. I think of so many in our congregation who have lost a child, and of the hope that the gospel tells us that one day will come when we can hold that child again. And for many of you who have lost a mom for whom Mother's Day is bittersweet, the knowledge that one day you will see a mother, your mother again, I hope, gives you some relief from that pain. This will be the ultimate second chance. But I'd like to focus today on a story that appears in Matthew and Mark about the mother whose daughter was ill, who was demon-possessed, and the mother's determination to see her daughter made well, a second chance that Jesus gave this woman by healing her daughter. And we heard it from Melinda this morning. We're going to go a little deeper. So in our scripture today, Jesus traveled to the area of Tyre and Sidon, and I want to show you where that is. If I'm working. Okay, the battery is not working. Yeah, but I'm not doing it. They're doing it upstairs. Okay. I'll ask you for the slides when I need them. This is the map of shows you where Tyre and Sidon are. They're about 35 miles by foot from where Jesus was ministering around the Sea of Galilee and in what is now modern-day Lebanon. And this was not Jewish territory. And Matthew and Mark imply that Jesus had gone to the coastal region. He was going there to rest, to take a break from all the ministering he had been doing around the Galilee, perhaps for a bit of downtime after having given himself tirelessly in all those weeks leading up to this trip. He was going on vacation. Mark says, roll the slide, please. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. Matthew and Mark both imply that Jesus had come here not to minister, but for a bit of rest, what we would call vacation. Even Jesus took time off from his ministry for a vacation. And just as he was checking into the seaside Hilton for this nice, restful day, an anonymous place where hopefully nobody knows him, this woman from a distance says, "Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, is that you? Jesus, my daughter's sick. Can you help me?" Listen to what Matthew says. "But he did not answer her a word." I wonder if the thought went through his mind, maybe if I pretend she's not there, she'll go away. He didn't answer her. Jesus wanted some time alone. Maybe if I don't answer her, she'll go away and she'll just disappear. That's so uncharacteristic of Jesus, isn't it? Have we ever read in Scripture where Jesus ignores somebody? This guy who stays up all night healing people ignores somebody? But the story gets even more unusual. The woman won't take no for an answer, and she keeps shouting at him and running towards him. And Matthew notes, we'll keep that one up there. I'm sorry. "And his disciples came and implored him, saying, 'Send her away because she keeps shouting at us.' And Jesus replied, 'I've been sent to the house of Israel for the lost sheep, the people of Israel.'" There we go. Yeah, would you please, Melinda? Thank you. The woman had approached a second time, and Jesus has now refused to help her. And his excuse is that he was sent only to the Jews. He tells this woman he's only been sent to heal the Jews. That's kind of funny. Haven't we seen him heal non-Jewish people too already in Scripture? Yeah, we have. Next slide, please. But she knelt before him and said, "Lord, please help me." But he responds to her with these words that have troubled modern commentators. Though they seem to have not troubled the gospel writers. Slide, please. "It's not good to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." It's not good to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Okay, so we have Jesus first trying to ignore this person, then to tell her that "I'm only coming for the house of Israel." And now he says something about dogs. Did he just call this poor woman a dog for seeking to help her daughter? This sounds so unlike Jesus, doesn't it? Thank you, Melinda. Let's unpack this just a little bit. It's helpful to know that the first century Jewish historian Josephus describes the people of this region as the Jewish people's bitterest enemies. Think about your worst enemies, and that's what these Samaritans were for the Jews. The bad blood went back for centuries, almost a millennium. There was also a socioeconomic issue. The people where Jesus grew up grew food for the people who lived along the coast where Sidon and Tyre are. So they were in the food export business to the people on the coast. So while the Syrophoenicians were used to taking the bread of the Jews, in this case, the Messiah was going to make sure that the bread stayed with the Jews. One thing that may be helpful in making sense of this passage is the term for dogs here is not the ones for the wild dogs that roam the streets. It's the word for those little house pets that many families had back in Jesus' time. And while most people in the first century don't treat their dogs quite as extravagantly as we do today, they still love their dogs. The Egyptians even had their favorite dogs mummified and buried with them. Now, many of us have children, and many of us have dogs also. Our dogs are sometimes closer to us than our children, and sometimes we love our dogs more than our children, but it's still a dog. Maybe this helps soften the words of Jesus. It's not good to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Bless you. And perhaps he is reflecting a typical way that the Jews and the Syrophoenicians related to each other. What is clear is that now for the third time, he has turned her request down. Does that sound like Jesus? Not the Jesus I know. I personally think he's up to something. I personally think that his waiting is somehow a kind of a test that he's putting this woman through, or a lesson in persistence that he wants to give. And once again, the woman refuses to take no for an answer, but she actually argues with Jesus in giving this reply. Yes, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And with that brilliant response, Jesus says, "Woman, you have great faith. Your daughter will be healed." And she was that very hour healed. The woman and her daughter were given a second chance at life together when the daughter was healed. I want you to think about what we talked about a couple of weeks ago about the daughter's illness. Remember that demon possession in the first century could have been a number of illnesses that defied diagnosis back then. It could have included emotional and mental illness. And as I read about this girl, I thought about the many young people who are struggling these days with cutting or eating disorders or depression or anxiety or obsessive-compulsive disorder, those that are addicted to drugs or alcohol, and their mothers who are relentlessly trying to get them help. And many of them have been delivered from these demons by faith and with the help of their moms and dads and doctors and therapists. They have survived, and not only survived, but they're also doing very well. Yet when I thought of the relentlessness or the relentless woman in this story, I also thought of the many moms who have children who have physical illnesses, some very serious. Most of you who have sat with my wife, Kelly, know that she was a pediatric ICU nurse at one of the larger hospitals in Sacramento. And I was touched, sometimes to tears, like right now, when walking into her unit and seeing these young kids and their mothers and fathers, for that matter, who take any measure to see that their children get the best treatment so as to beat the illness or injury that might be ravaging their body, be it cancer, be it infection, or a heart or lung condition. And I think of those moms I've heard about who will sit day and night, week after week, for months even, while their little one is in a hospital, praying tenaciously, pursuing whatever it takes so that they can bring their little ones home. This is part of what moms do. Looking back at what my mom did for us kids, I think of the courage she mustered to make life normal for us as a single mom. I can think of any number of moms who do the same thing. We see this in the Syrophoenician woman. One of the things we learn by reading the gospel is that Jesus was constantly being interrupted, including in this story before us today, and yet he lived the truth that John Lennon once articulated. Life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans. Life is what happens to you while you are busy making other plans. On this Mother's Day, slow down and make memories and enjoy the little things. Live with gratitude. Paul said to give thanks in all circumstances. He said this is the key to having a peace that surpasses all understanding, that we lift up everything to God with thanksgiving. Put life into perspective. Whatever we are facing, it's likely not as big a deal as we think. Consider this. Consider the kid fighting for their life. If they can say, "No biggie," to their nurses, and if the parents fighting this disease with their children can say, "No biggie," then maybe we can too. And say, "I love you" often to your family, to your friends. On this special day that we set aside to remember and honor moms everywhere, I would like to end with this. To those of you who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experience loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, and running away, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of fertility, fraught with pokes and prods, tears and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make this harder than it is. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who lived through the driving test, medical test, and the overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way you long for it to be. To those who step-parent, we walk with you on these complex paths. To those who envision lavishing love on grandchildren, yet that dream is not to be, we grieve with you. To those who will have emptier nests in the upcoming year, we grieve and rejoice with you. To those who place children up for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness and remember how to hold that child in your heart. Those who are pregnant with new life, both expecting and surprising, we anticipate with you. This Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering isn't for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors in our midst. We remember you. Thank you, moms. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.